Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. This show is an invitation to let go of what's holding you down, laugh more, and love like crazy. If you've tuned in live to this episode, please call in now and be a part of the show. Our number is area code 646-200-0825. And now, flying solo for today is our hostess, Jen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Lighten Up. I am Jen Halterman, your solo hostess for today, and I welcome you to this show. For those of you who have been longtime listeners, welcome back, and those of you who are new, I welcome you and hope that you enjoy your time here and that you choose to follow along with the show on Blog Talk Radio. And you can also follow along on Facebook and get updates about shows and other broadcasts on Periscope and Facebook Live and all those things over on Facebook. And my page, you can find it at facebook.com/Jen Halterman now. So thank you for being here. I'm very happy to be with you and talk about this topic. As a life coach, I received a lot of training in skills and mindset and emotional awareness and physical awareness, and the spirituality came from just a knowing and a sense that I've always had, and being able to really own and acknowledge that I am psychic. I do very intuitive work, and I do Akashic Record readings as well as soul profiles, has been something that took me some time to feel comfortable doing. And part of that is because it's so based on everybody's perspective as to how they engage with this type of thing. And so let me explain and share from my heart, not that the overall definition, but an introduction to who I am as a being. Because for some, if you say psychic, they immediately have an image flash into their mind, and it discounts anything else that could be possible. And so for my personal gifts and abilities, I am a seer. I also hear, I sense, I feel, I have all of my senses engaged in the readings that I do. And so the stroke of my brush, so to speak, is very wide when it comes to when I talk about the soul and what I experience with people and their different expressions of who they be on a spiritual level and how it comes across into the world. And last week I opened up the conversation into soul profiles and what goes on for people when they start to recognize their soul. They start to recognize the ways that it expresses or communicates with them. And this morning, quite honestly, I kind of went and played for the weekend because it was my birthday palooza weekend. And today when I went back to some emails, I discovered that there was an interest in having more conversations about this. So thank you for your emails. And as I sat this morning and just really wondered about what it is that I could share, the one thing that came up is something that, you know, in life coaching, I truly do encourage people to have a daily practice and know, you know, kind of have a plan for certain things. But then I always encourage inspiration and room for that spontaneity and curiosity and wonder. And so it comes in as both. And one of the things that came up to my awareness through messages and conversations was that for many people, they don't trust inspiration. There's a lack of validation or proof or whatever it is that you would like to call it. Everybody has their own interpretation. And so one of the things that I've received a lot of questions about is, how do you trust yourself? How do you know you're psychic? I love that question. How do you know you're psychic? Well, if I don't know, who would? And that's one of the things that really, I think it limits us. I think that in this world, we get so hooked in and convinced that we just can't be fabulous. We must get it validated from an outside source. We must go and take our own unique gifts and abilities and put it through some kind of structure that somebody has created, but then they can take their structure, apply it to our gifts and abilities, and when we're done, they will give us a piece of paper that says, okay, Now you officially can be fabulous. And for some things, like, I mean, when you've got specific trainings in the medical field and, you know, law and all these things, I get that. I totally understand that. But when it comes to your innate sense, you're born into this world with already a soul that is as unique as the stars in the sky, I'm not one to say that that's something for you to mold and shape. Instead, my invitation is, what if you actually allowed that to come through your being as a human? What if, instead of thinking that our human perspective should force the soul into the human's understanding or interpretation, what if we instead allowed the soul's language of inspiration to come through, and then we followed it as we go about our human experience? That, to me, is worth every single minute that we are on this planet, saying, you know, my soul decided to come have a physical human experience. I don't know if I thought it would be a good time or if I thought it was a great dare or whatever. But, you know, I decided to be here having a human experience. So if that's what my soul brought me to be, why wouldn't I include my soul in this experience? That's just the way that my reasoning comes about. I don't know why I was born able to see dead people. My soul brought that. It just is. I know people who can hear animals speak. I'm one of them. I know people who can sense when somebody is coming before they even arrive in their space. I know people who can tune in and feel the vibe of their children or their family members or a client, and they do, and they check in with their clients in that way. I know people who will be able to tell you exactly what's going to happen in somebody's life, and it will if they stay on that path. I know people, all kinds of people like that. I also know that it takes trust to follow some of those messages. You see, this world likes guarantees. It likes the physicality of the third dimension. It likes that. It says, hey, this is what proves that I am important, that the third dimension reality, that the physical, tangible, you know, tactile experiences that we're having here, that, yeah, all that is why the third dimension even exists. And yet there's more. And, you know, I used to be worried about having conversations because I'm not one to debate. I think that everybody has their own spiritual beliefs and religious beliefs and political beliefs and all those things. And I, you know, just, that's fine. You don't inflict it on me. I don't inflict it on you. And we go about our way. And so that's just kind of my approach. I'm pretty nonchalant about it. And when it comes to this topic of soul language, it's not about being right or wrong or I've got the answer for you. I do believe that your soul has a specific language that it communicates with you in, that you resonate with. That's my experience. And based on the feedback I've gotten from the hundreds of people that I've worked with and connected with on this topic, they tend to have that same experience. So I'm just going to go with it, okay? And if this message doesn't match for you, that's okay. You can disconnect from the message and go on your way. But if it does connect with you, I'd love to connect with you on a grander scale. And you can do that through Facebook, my website, jenhalterman.me. You could do it through many ways, but it's up to you, okay? So I want to get into this topic about, first of all, I've got to tell all the schedule lovers out there that I'm not anti-schedule. Okay, so let me clarify. Sometimes when I get into this thing about a plan or a schedule and what if not everything in life fits into a plan? What if you can't schedule a guarantee life outcome? I do get some pushback from people who believe that plans and schedules are important, and they are. And most of those people think on some level, and they know they're fooling themselves, but they will acknowledge it, that they believe if they plan and schedule things carefully enough, they can control certain events from happening, not happening, whatever. And I'm here to tell you that that has not been my experience. Maybe that is how yours will turn out, but it has not been my experience. I've never experienced anybody that said, I planned my life beginning to end, and nothing surprised me. I knew exactly how it was going to turn out, and it all went exactly the way that I wanted it to. The end, close the book, lights out. I've never even heard a story of that person, okay? And so if that's the case, and if we can see the results of, the outcome of having a good plan or a good schedule, you know, hey, yeah, we're going to meet at this time. You know, I just did a whole birthday weekend where, you know, hey, we're going to go bowling at this time. We're going to go to the movies this time. We're going to meet out here at this, you know, open dance music venue at this time. And, you know, people kind of wandered in and it worked and it came together beautifully. Some people missed out and weren't able to go along with the planner schedule. And it was perfect. It was absolutely perfect. So I'm not saying that is bad. What I'm saying is, what if there is an and within the scheduler plan? What if you're following the plan and inspiration gives you a nudge to deviate from the plan, to change your course a little bit? Are you receiving those messages? Or are you insisting, no, no deviation allowed? No, absolute not. We must be rigid with the plan. What might you be missing? Because here, let's go to the origination of the word and all that when it comes to inspiration. What it actually means is spirit or God within. It comes from that space of what gave you life, what gave you, brought you into existence is within you. And when it comes through you, that is that source, whatever you believe that to be, coming through, trying to get your attention, give you a message. Now, again, this is just based on my beliefs, but my perspective of that is, why wouldn't I follow that? Really? So let me get this straight. Spirit, God, universe, put this breath of life, this beingness into life, into creation, and then that creation came into physicality to have this experience, and now that, all of that connection is whispering within me to get my attention. I can't think of one part of me that would say no to that. One part of me that would say, no. Don't you see? I've got it in my phone planner. You know, old days, I'd have it in my paper planner. I got a schedule here. Don't interrupt. Like, there is nothing in me. However, based on interactions with others and communications that I've had, there are some out there who do struggle with that very thing. Now, last week when I talked about that gap between the soul and our expression and all of that, and that all the stuff that fills up the gap in there, and I talked about how it can be so many things. It's all of our experiences. It's all the beliefs that we were given. It's all of the, you know, the stories we were told. It's our experiences that gave us a judgment as to something's good, bad, or safe, or dangerous, or whatever it is. And I spoke of that last week on a show, and what really strikes me is so many people live into the proof of their limitations and fears. So many people spend their life living into proving those fears and limitations as truth and fact. And that is a very interesting choice of creation for your life. Is, you know, when I was younger, I had a fear of heights. And so I lived into that heights are dangerous. Always have acted as if I am terrified of them. I never go around anywhere there where heights are. Any story of somebody falling, I post it on social media. I read it to everybody just to prove heights are dangerous. All right, good. And they arrive at their death saying, yep, I avoided heights my whole life because they're dangerous, so now I'm going to safely die. It cracks me up. So consider that. Where in your life are you living into making sure that your limitations and fears are true? Where are you living into that? And why are you giving that your energy and focus? Why would you choose to make that the correct thing, the proof? Okay, just wonder about that. Because that message is a message of your fear. That's a message of that ego that wants to get you safely to death. And for anybody that is new listening, my perspective of the ego is not that the ego is all bad. I am not somebody that says destroy and deny and pretend like the ego is not there. It's part of the human experience. I just think that I like to give it a new job. I like, instead of it telling me, you know, don't be adventurous, I say, hey, ego, let me know when I'm starting to let you run my life and play it safe. Just let me know when that happens. And then it gives me a cue of it starting to take over, and then I can kindly reassign it and give it a job, and I can make choices based on inspiration instead of fear. That's just my approach. But here's one thing to distinguish between the soul's language of inspiration and that fear-based language. And that is, the soul's language is not on limitation or fear. The soul's language doesn't have such a thing. There is not fear. There's nothing to fear. The soul's language is about experience, growth, and expansion. And sometimes we've got to face our fears in order to have that expansion. And the soul knows it. And so sometimes what the soul is nudging you towards is the very last thing your ego would want you to do. The very last thing your vulnerability and fears of vulnerability would encourage you to experience. And yet, every single one of us has the opportunity to make choices every day as to which whispering or nudging or voice we are going to listen to. If you have a nudge to do something that doesn't make sense, but comes with it a sensation of openness or of feeling light, excitement, enthusiasm, all those things, it most likely is your soul's message. It's the language of your soul. The language of fear is constriction, tightness, cringing and hunkering down to hide, okay? And sadly, a lot of people think, well, I'm really scared about that, so I'm not going to take that action. But what happens is, if inspiration comes in and it says, yes, say yes to this adventure, say yes to this expansion, and our fear gets a hold of it and it scrunches it down and it goes into constriction, a lot of people misunderstand that to mean that, oh, that must be a bad sign. Oh, no, I've got fear with this one, so not a good one. I'm not going to follow it. But actually what's happened is the ego just slipped the mask over it of doubt and fear because it knows that you won't go beyond your comfort zone. So what if your schedule and plan is actually a very tricky expression, very tricky expression of a comfort zone that's limiting you? What if? Would you know the difference if it showed up? I'm chuckling because I have a message from somebody that says, hey, I'm leaving my comfort zone today. Oh, yeah, I kind of am. Mm-hmm. And what got you there? For those of you who say, I leave my comfort zone all the time, I break my schedule, you know, I make unexpected stops on a road trip, that's really outrageous for me. And I'm not saying it's not. But there are many of you who don't listen to those nudges, and there are many of you who don't follow inspired action. Here's what I know. Inspiration takes us to some very strange places. Sadly, many, many, many people are kind of, that's a strong word that came up wanting to be said, but I'm going to say it anyway. We're kind of hooked on, we're kind of addicted to that rush of validation of how important we are. And so what happens is sometimes people go in search of the inspiration that leads to the grand, the big validation of how important you are in the world, or you have a calling, or you have whatever that is. And what we miss is all of the little gentle nudges along the way that are just as vital, just as validating of your soul's language to you. It is just as encouraging for you, but maybe it doesn't come with the fanfare that the ego wants you to receive. What if you started listening not only to the big, grand, take the leap, go for it, you know, quit your job, start your business, go after the higher, you know, pressure job that actually fulfills you instead of keeps you stuck? What if we not only went after those and said, yes, I'm ready for the up level, yes, I'm ready for the big expansion, yes, but we also said, yeah, I don't know, but I'm going to follow this nudge, and I'm going to go this way, and I'm going to take a different route home, and I'm going to do this. And let me give you an example of why, okay? For those of you who know anything about me, and for those of you who don't, here's an introduction. I am very spontaneous, very. I'm curious. If something catches my curiosity, I am, you know, like a child. And I just, what is that? You know, I'm not afraid to ask questions. I go up, I look at it from different perspectives. I really check into it, check it out, all of those things. And that's just me. That's part of me being me. And for many people, many, many people, when they're new to being around me, they'll be like, what are you doing? What is she doing now? Where is she going now? And so one of the things that I am very curious about is I am a perspective hound. I love searching out different perspectives. I love it. To take a picture, 9 times out of 10, if I'm taking a picture of something, I take about 5 different perspectives of it before I capture the one that gets the different thing. And how that comes across is, you know, if I'm playing a board game, I don't take a picture from the top down to the board game. I angle it low or across the playing field or whatever that is, because I love the different perspectives of life. And so one of the things I do is I take pictures of things, because I blog and I Pinterest and I, you know, Instagram and I Facebook all of these things. And some of them I use for image quotes. So there's a little bit about me. That is a normal thing in my world, to take a lot of pictures, to capture little videos. You never know when they're going to turn up, and then use them for my business and promotions and just blogging and stuff like that. So, all right, inspired action, curiosity. So Sherry and I are planning our wedding for this summer. And yesterday we went to the store. We went to a main big store to get the paint. And we are talking, I think it was 7 gallons of paint and then a couple quarts. And these colors are, you know, they're coordinated and they took a lot of planning and what's the feel and what's the vibe and what's the tone and the brilliance of all these colors. And it's been quite a process. And I'm standing there, and there are people working and mixing the paint. Well, I notice that I can see the paint come through the machine and be dropped into, okay, it's poured into this big gallon, and I have a vantage point of that. So I go around the counter. It's an octagon-type counter, and I go around to that vantage point, and I take a little video. And then I come around, and I see where the lady is, you know, writing on the paint and or the can, and all these things are happening. Well, they set up a bunch of these gallons of paint on the countertop, put on the lids, hammer them on, and then they go over and they put it in the big shaker, not the one at a time shaker. When you're doing, you know, 7 gallons, you put it in the big shaker. So they go over and they put 4 gallons in this machine that's a shaker. My curiosity says, go over there. Little inspiration. Very casual. I'm in a hardware store. I have somebody there with me that we're kind of chatting, and yet I hear, go over there. I'm like, huh, all right. My intellect says, oh, yeah, I could get a video of them shaking. That's fun. That'll be fun to add to the blog when I'm talking about all this crazy stuff that we're creating for the wedding. Oh, that'll be fun. So I follow my curiosity, and I walk around, and I zoom in on the glass door around this metal contraption as this girl sets in 4 gallons, and then she turns on the machine and she goes back to talking to her coworker. And I'm zoomed in and I'm video, you know, the board is coming down to hold the 4 gallons in place, and it goes over the 4 lids, da 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 da. And then it turns on, and there's obvious shake, 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 shake happening inside this machine. And then, as I'm videotaping, why? I have no idea. It just felt like a thing to do, so I followed it, right? The door pops open, and one of the gallons comes tumbling out. And it's all on tape, y'all. Now, it didn't make a mess that we knew of. That gallon stayed intact. The lid stayed on. Okay? So the door was re-shut. No big deal. I am hysterically laughing now because I happened to capture a very ordinary thing of shaking paint. Not a big deal, right? I walk back around. I'm talking to the friend that I've got there. I show her the video I had taken. Sherry's coming back around. What's going on? I'm completely entertained. And then they start taking those gallons back out of the shaker to discover that one of the paint cans in the back had in fact come open, and there is periwinkle paint over all the gallons. And now there's a cleanup, you know, taking place and all this stuff. Now, to many of you, you might think, oh, my gosh, what a mess. What a pain. Did they discount your paint? What? No, we got a new thing. They weren't going to sell us the paint that splashed all over. But here's the thing. for me, because of my sense of humor, because I am doing a blog about it, and I think that life gives us so much to laugh at, that to me was a gift. That to me was absolute inspired action saying, hey, walk around there. Take a video of that shaker. You'll know why in a minute. And then I did. And I laughed. And I will be using it in my blog. Not because it's some magnificent proof of, you know, life after death, or because it saved the world, or because anybody can validate anything. No. What it is to me is a moment of humor. It's a moment of irony. It is a moment when inspiration said, this will make you laugh. Go stand over there. And I had no reason for it except my intellectual brain said, okay, well, this justifies it. It's worth the walk around the counter. Go ahead. It didn't matter if it justified it to me. I was going anyway because I have a commitment to follow inspiration like that. And so as simple as that story is, truly, I mean, come on, spilled paint, that's like nothing. That is nothing, except for when you realize my perspective and my sense of humor. And so my invitation to you is, yes, listen for the grand, absolutely. I mean, when you see the synchronicities that come in through this life, whether it's series of numbers or whether it's meeting people or, you know, a circumstance that plays out perfectly, absolutely follow those. But understand that the soul's language of inspiration also points out the sunflower, the standing up in the middle of a field for no reason at all other than you happen to be thinking of a loved one, and sunflowers are her favorite flower. And you noticed it. That's it. What if? That's actually the magnificence of seeing the extraordinary within the ordinary. It's always there. It's always available for us and to us. But we must learn to trust in listening to that. Sometimes we take action, sometimes we don't. You know, and that's some of the possibilities of life that just go un whatever. I can't tell you if you'd gone another way and had not seen that sunflower, if the sunflower was actually there. I don't know. That's one of the mysteries of the universe that I am totally willing for my mind to play in, because that's my belief system and that's what I like to play in. And I wonder if, you know, this last weekend as I was out shopping, celebrating my birthday, as Sherry was saying, I don't know why, but I've got to take you to this one store. And she even had the name of the store wrong. It was hysterical. We had to drive through a town I'd never explored yet. And we're wandering through and we find the correct mall that most of it shut down. And she goes in asking about this store, and she's got the wrong name. And so she tells them the type of things that are in the store. And they say, oh, yeah, this is the actual name of the store. So we go to find the correct store. And it's what she had in mind. She's like, I don't know. The truth is, we didn't buy anything in this store. So it's not like going to this one store, there was some big, you know, tangible proof of anything in this store. But here's what I can tell you. We wander around. We are not on a schedule. We're dancing through life on a whim, okay? But when we walked into the store and I got done playing with the hats, which is kind of a tradition of mine, anywhere I go in, I try on the hats. I did it with my kids. I do it with Sherry. We've done it over the years. As I'm trying on hats and I walk over to a different part of the store, right underneath the speaker that puts music into the room, the song Three Little Birds, which is Don't worry about a thing. Every little thing's going to be all right. Comes on overhead. And you know, that's pretty ordinary. To have, you know, Bob Marley or even his son come on and sing that song when you're shopping isn't really that big a deal. Unless you realize that it is the number one song that my daughter Kelsey, who has passed away, always used to send to me. We used to send it to each other when we were struggling. And that every single time a major event comes around that makes me think of her or Garrett or my grandson Sage, who were all killed in the same accident, that song, Three Little Birds, shows up somehow, in some way. And as I'm standing in the store, looking up at the speaker, as that song plays out, to me, that was extraordinary. To me, I knew that that was the orchestration of Sherry having the sense, I want to get you to this store. I don't know why. Like I said, we didn't buy anything, but we did receive there. We received that song and that connection. Proven. Would that song have played if I hadn't walked in? I don't know. That's not my concern. What I do know is I was there and that song played. And to me, for those few moments, I spent my birthday with my daughter, with my son-in-law, and with my grandson. And I believe that was my soul language being heard and listened to and followed, and Sherry's soul language was also contributing the message, follow this, do this, so that it was divinely orchestrated outside of a schedule and outside of a plan that meeting could happen. I call that magic because I don't know how it all happened. I can follow it and I can reverse engineer it and I can start to strategize and try to make it make sense and have proof in this third dimension world, but I don't need it. Because I believe in the connection between the worlds, and I believe in the connection between all of us, and I believe all of that orchestrated that gift. And it doesn't matter if anybody else believes it or experiences it or validates it. What matters is if I received it, and I'm telling you I did. If we can be present in our experiences, whether it's what we're eating, what we're listening to, what we're drawn to doodle or draw or paint, or the tree we go to stand underneath at a movie theater or whatever it is. If we can just be present with that and notice what comes our way, that to me is when we realize that inspiration to just stand in a certain location at that very moment came beyond this realm. And that's the invitation that I just, as I sat thinking about this show today, I really did. I even skipped my morning periscope. I just stayed at my desk, just sitting in wonder and watching the leaves dance on the trees outside my office, just asking, can I express what's in my heart that is so full today in a way that perhaps even one or a few or hundreds, I don't know, that's not my concern, but that I can express the invitation that I hear from souls to please just slow down, or even if you're sped up, be present in your experience. so you can recognize the amazing orchestration happening around us, around you, at all times. That's the invitation that I hear. That's the tears in my eyes. That's the energy in my fingertips. That's what I'm sensing, and it's not loud. This isn't there's no pressure. You've got to hear this. You have to do this. No, this is not under the category of this is so important. But I am telling you, this is so beautiful. And it's an invitation. And it's one that if you don't receive, it's okay. It will continue. So I ask you, last week I talked about your soul language, the language that your soul is talking to you in. Are you watching and listening for that? And then do you take action? You know, to go, I'm really curious about that, and then do nothing? I don't understand that. Like, that's like having, you know, food brought before you that you've never tried, but your mouth instantly waters. You have no recollection of this lifetime of experiencing that particular food. But when it comes into your realm, whether it's on a commercial or somebody, you know, it's in a magazine or whatever it is, your mouth waters, and that is like you saying, no, 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 nah. My eyes have decided I don't like that. Even though your mouth is saying, yes, please, I want some of that. Let's try that. Oh, yeah, come on. But you can say no to it. I don't know why you would, but you can say no. This is the same thing to me. It's just like that. It's like having something presented to you that you can partake of, that you can experience on a physical level, that you can have a tangible experience with, and looking at it and considering it and deciding that maybe because, you know, your third cousin removed on your, you know, father's side said they didn't like that you won't enjoy it. So therefore you'll say no. It doesn't make sense to me at all. So will you receive the inspiration, the soul's language? Will you receive it? Welcome it in. And in what form? Are you comfortable with it? I know people who are super very comfortable with receiving inspiration and being curious and having super adventures in one or two areas of their life, but then in the others, they choose not to. And so I ask, what areas are you playing it safe? What areas are you saying, no, that's outside the comfort zone. That's a no for me. It's okay. But if it keeps showing up, you might want to say yes eventually. Try it out. See where it goes. Sometimes we take a detour along the road of life just to see a flower in a field. And sometimes that flower in the field, we drive by right by and we don't even look at it. And sometimes it gets our attention and we might even stop, take a picture. We might paint it. Some people might go cut it, take it home. It's up to each individual how you're going to interact with that experience. And if you'll see it as a gift or will it be fall in the category of ordinary and skipped over? I know I'm a curiosity bug. I am very aware of it, and actually, it's one of my favorite traits. And I know not everybody's curious, and I know some people like what they call safe, and I don't have judgment about that. But within that, quote, safety, within the container that you're willing to be, are you receiving inspiration there, at least? At the very least, are you willing to receive inspiration there? Even if it's not outside the comfort zone, even if the inspiration is small, are you willing? Because we've got to start where we are. I've got a friend who, she's getting ready to kick off a challenge, Megan Silito. She's one of my favorite pirates on the planet. And she's kicking off a challenge where she will, if you do something and dare her during this challenge to do it, she'll do it. And she'll even videotape herself doing it. And I admire that, you know. My kids, Kelsey and Tom, they'd go do whatever. Didn't matter, you know, dirt bikes and it just jumping out of airplanes and all that kind of stuff, holding any kind of animal or bug or reptile or whatever. They're on it. They do it all. And I'm not that way. I'm like, no. Nope, that's not part of this physical experience. Thank you very much. That's a no for me. That zone is no. But they're okay with it. But then I'm always curious. So where do they play it safe? And we all have our own areas. So within the area that you're willing to branch out, would you be willing to start listening to your soul language and how it speaks to you? I do profiles. I call them a profile because I don't know what a blueprint, I don't know, whatever. I do profile readings, and I'm telling you that everybody has different strengths. Some people have a huge capacity for compassion that far surpasses, like, you know, giving somebody a hug when they feel like crap. Their compassion is very grounded in nature. It, you know, the Mother Earth, the sacred goddess, they have a very inclusionary message or inspiration or vibe to them. They love a good cause. In fact, if a good cause comes along, they're kind of the band, you know, they lead the band. They get in there and they just, yeah, let's do this and na-na-na-na. They can't help themselves but be involved in social causes. And yet, there are other people that they love to build, whether they're building a community or a building. They love the physical, the building something. It's about experience for them. Some people are very natural with money. These are all different parts of different soul profiles. Listen as I go through these and see what you resonate with, because they all, every single one of these, as you have different aspects of a soul profile, when you recognize something, go, wow, I really do that innately. I didn't know that was a gift, which is why I'm going through these. Listen for the gifts that get your attention, because they're probably part of your profile. And there's always polarity in the gift, because the ego, if it gets a hold of it, it's going to do the opposite of whatever it can, because it wants to keep you safe. Okay, there are some people who are super emotional. They can speak the language of emotion brilliantly. They can express emotion. They're not afraid of emotion. They lean in the emotion. And so that is very, because it comes to our physical body, they relate to it so much. There are some people who love food. Okay, so anything that has to do with the palate of the mouth and taste. Luckily, I share this. I think I got it from my dad, and we love just textures and taking the time, and this is the small spoon comes in where you don't take a full mouthful. You want a little spoon, a little taste makes my mouth water. So you can just allow all the flavors to dance within your mouth, and Some people follow that. Some people, that's their sole language. It's amazing, right? Think about a chef. Think about that, you know? And then there's some people like myself that travel to go and explore and experience different locations really feeds their soul. And then there are people who are all about balance and harmony, order, peacefulness that comes when everybody is comfortable. Not everybody's being accommodated, but everybody is just in that space of contentment. There are other people, I mean, thank goodness there are some people out there who really love that law or order and have a passion for bringing that into the world and into their lives, okay? And yet there are other people that love beauty, you know, designing, decorating, gardening, doing hair, makeup, whatever that is. They just love that. And then there are the healers, the lovers of the world, who just love on people, total unconditional love, acceptance, allowance, healing, very nurturing. That's just yummy. They listen with more than just their ears. You know that they're resonating and they're allowing your message to come in and just be given sacred space, even for words. It's beautiful. Healers who hold space for those who might be wounded or fragile or in a recovery or a transformational stage, and they honor that space. Beautiful. So that healing can take place. And then there's the authentic, where authenticity they just love it. They spot it. They recognize it. They call people on it. They express with words and song and teaching and, you know, whether it's spoken or written. Who are eloquent in their expression. And then there are some who have this innate truth about them. They recognize, they're kind of human lie detectors, and they recognize truth. They recognize and they honor it. And they also recognize that everybody's individual truth is unique. And they don't think that one person's truth applies to another. They just see individual truth. They see that soul or that essence in individuals and in individual environments. Somebody just messaged me. Is that you? Yep, that's mine. That's my leading energy right there. That is part of my gift. Yes. So then there's others who have this innate sense of potency and power, kind of a free will. This choice is so divine and so important and honored. Honor the level of choice and the power that has in it. There are gifts, people who are psychic like myself and who have that energy of, you know, sensing and knowing and having an awareness. And being able to communicate that awareness to others is also another layer of that gift. They're born leaders. People who lead not by telling, but by going ahead and then allowing those who want to follow. They don't lead by yelling and commanding an army. They lead by taking that first action, that first step, that first creation, and then people fall in line and just kind of follow, the masses follow. Forrest Gump this is depicted in the movie Forrest Gump brilliantly. When he started running, he just ran. And there were, you know, people following him running. And then he decided he was done. That's leadership when it comes to this gift. And then there's more gifts that come through, and they come through in different ways. You know, some people are very philosophical, and some people can really wonder for a long time, and some people can take that wondering and bring it into the physical realm. And when I talk about soul files and I talk about this, what it is that I'm looking at is when a truth comes in, okay, and it's expressed in a certain way, and it comes through somebody speaking it or writing it. That's a combination of a soul profile coming through. And yet there can be somebody else who, you know, maybe they've got a passion for nature and they're a leader. And so they create a cause or a community where people start saying, yes, I believe that too. And yes, I want to join this. I share that same dream. And yes, I will support whatever we can do to support nature, take care of nature, whatever that is. So these soul profiles come in differently. And your soul language speaks through your profile, through your gifts and abilities. So are you listening? If you have a love for music, are you receiving as well as following what wants to come through you, out, creating music, writing music? Are you paying attention to the sounds you hear in nature of music, that kind of thing? It comes in so many different ways. Recognizing that your soul profile is part of that soul, the energy, the life within you. And when it sends a message through you, inspired through you, and you resonate with it, and it tries to get your attention on the physical level, that's your opportunity to co-create with the universe. That's when you choose into co-creating with your higher power, spirit, God, source, whatever you want, whatever word you want. That's how you co-create directly with God. Is when that inspiration comes through, you hear it, you take action. That's co-creating. You're creating your life. You could do it with inspiration or without. It's up to you. And the results are just the outcome. It's not about profound or failure. It's about creating. Look at how many things get created because something else was actually the aimed for outcome. But dozens of things came out of the creation that didn't lead to the outcome that was focused on. So yes, have your daily practices. Have your schedules. Absolutely. But be willing and open to listen to and sometimes even follow the soul language of inspiration that says, this is a great plan. I've got something a little bit different. I've got something a little bit better over here. You want to check it out? Do you want to check it out or do you want to stay with the plan? It's totally up to you. But if you want, there's another possibility here. Pretty cool choice we have in this life every single day. Millions and millions of possibilities are available. I hope you get curious today. That's my wish today. Thanks for spending this time with me. I hope you have a wonderful day. I will talk to you again on Wednesday. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to Lighten Up with Jen and Sherry. To find out more about Sherry's cranial sacral and massage therapy practice by checking out her website at www.bodywisehealthcare.com. Bodywise is nourishment for the mind, body, and being. If you're part of an organization that could benefit from my dynamic, engaging public speaker for your next live event, or if you'd like to find out more about her programs offered, Jen can be reached at her website, www.jenhalterman.me.